Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Doing this to me this morning, Sean.
Why not? Why are you lip syncing?
Because it's funnier because they don't see it.
Yeah, that makes good radio.
Yeah.
That high note. Hit it.
Oh, I didn't have the time.
Too early in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. And it is a full house. We are back today.
Apparently ready to go.
Oh, good Lord. We are gaming crazy. There's my partner there, Forrest.
Yeah, I am here. I thought there was more to that sentence.
He says no comment. I believe him.
And I see Nia.
Hi.
And of course, at the board is producer Casey.
Good morning.
And I am Sean Roberts. This is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you are new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We talk about our past week and we talk about other stuff that hopefully makes you laugh.
That's right. Laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life, the embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but damn it, we still do.
Hey, those are the things that connect us all, make us human, and as you know, and I know, laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or jump onto Twitter or Instagram at YourWeeklyDose1.
Or say hello to us on Facebook at YourWeeklyDose.
Or email us, YourWeeklyDose1@gmail.com.
That's right. And today we've got a pretty cool show because not only are we going to have sports with Oz Davis, but we are also going to have my dear friend Jill Whelan on the show today, continuing our Growing Up Hollywood. And we're going to be talking about her experience on, of course, the TV show The Love Boat that she was on for about 9 years. So it's going to be a great show. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt this. Now, today's theme song, though, is Aha.
Heard of
Take On, Take On Me. Now, if you guys know what today is and why we're playing this song today, email us your answer at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Today is September 24th. Is that the answer?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the answer might surprise you because why are we playing this song today?
Why Take On Me by
Yeah,
Aha.
Why are you doing this to me, Sean?
Yes. Why are we doing it? Give us your answer. Email us.
Not a fan?
Is it to torture Casey? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe
yeah,
not.
This is a song that will get stuck in your head for like a week straight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the high note, too.
Exactly. Exactly. But if you know what today is, if you may have to look it up, we don't care. But go ahead and email us your answer.
Even if you have to look,
you gotta look it up. Email us your answer at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. The first person to give us the correct answer will win a Your Weekly Dose t-shirt. So we will get that to you.
Hey, speaking of Your Weekly Dose,
yes,
you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, just find us through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Search Your Weekly Dose, and please share with your friends and rate and review the show. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. And, of course, if you want to download today's theme song. You can do that by simply by going to our main sponsor, which is Amazon. All you do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it and shop to your heart's delight and download all the music you want.
Look, Casey's downloading the song right now.
I'll be darned. Look at that. And she's also downloading some camera equipment and some other equipment for her films and stuff. Because she's been very popular lately, I'm understanding. And she's got a new hair color, by the way, too.
I'm the only redhead now.
Is that a specific shade?
Back to one.
Is there a name for that
shade?
Back
to one.
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Purple?
Purple plum.
Oh, okay. Purple.
Yeah, we'll go.
Purple plum.
Either way, you still look hot.
Yeah, well, thank you.
She's like, yeah. I know.
I'll take it.
Because before it was like this bright red, you know, kind of a thing. Not a natural looking red, but a bright red or whatever. And now it's like this royal dark purple. And I'm going,
there's this, there's this video on set of me just like stroking your hair.
Did they caught that on video?
They did. When you were like putting the mic on Michael and like I was combing through your hair. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
I know. I got the privilege of
stroking her hair.
Yeah, well, usually it's bunned up so that my microphone or my earphones can stay on appropriately.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
Otherwise, they're too big for my head.
Yeah. You dressed up just for us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And my parents were on set.
Yeah. Well, that was later on in
here.
The day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they came on set.
That is cool.
They came to visit for the week. They had a really good time. My dad did his first skydive.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
What do you think of that?
He loved it. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. That's so fun.
Yeah. There's a good photo of the two of us when we were landing in the landing area. We're all hopped up on adrenaline and stuff.
Wow.
So he was tandem to you then? Or?
No, Mateo.
Oh, Mateo. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see when he took.
We got to post it then.
I'll have to
send it on our Facebook page.
I will. It's a good one. What else has everybody else been up to?
I don't know. Let's see. We've all been gone for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, the first week we were actually dark because I had a celebration of life with a buddy of mine, Mikey Robles. It went really, really well. Got to see some friends I haven't seen since the last funeral. But it was good to see a lot of people come out though.
Mm.
I wasn't too sure. I thought maybe 20. 30 people, whatever. And that's an awesome picture of your dad.
Yeah.
Dad looks so proud. Yeah, we got to post that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we got to post that.
Sweet.
They look happy.
We had, I think, maybe about 100 people come out, which was really great. You know, family, friends, people that Mike worked with at Knott's Berry Farm during the haunt and everything. Mm-hmm. And a number of us got up and told stories and stuff, you know, really celebrating his life and what Mikey was really like. So it was really good. It was really, really good. So we had a good time with it. The reception afterwards, everybody got together, talked more, cried more, laughed more. So it was all good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. How about you? A couple good weeks?
Yeah, the 2 weeks went by quick. I missed you guys being on the air with you, and it was one of those ones that blew by. I had jury duty. That's my exciting sharing.
Oh. Really? You had jury duty?
I had to call in and told, don't come in. Call in the next day, don't come in, right? So I went through that whole civil duty of mine, and that was it. That was it was a ho-hum kind of couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I know, Nia, you were busy, too.
Yes. The film industry kind of just, like, ate me alive for, like, 2 weeks. Like, that's literally all I've been doing is working. But we did wrap Volume 1 of The Passion Project, so episodes 1 through 4.
Nice.
Woo!
Nice.
Yeah, so that was really exciting. We go into post for those tomorrow, so it'll be about, I mean, all four episodes combined will be about a feature length.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but it's really, I'm really excited. Like, I'm like, the whole cast and crew, I'm just, like, I'm just so happy. they're all...
No, you got a good cast.
I do. Yeah. No, I love, like, oh my gosh, the cast is so fun to be in scenes with. I love all of them. And then the crew, too, is just, we're all just very, like, welcoming and uplifting people. And I just really, like, appreciate that we were all able to, like, attract each other to get to, you know, where this project and make this cool thing together. And, yeah.
And I mean, I've been on the set a couple of times, too, helping you out and everything, but one thing I've noticed about you kids, and I say kids because I'm way much older.
Yeah, you're much older than us.
No disagreement here.
No.
You're usually the oldest.
Even Forge is going, shit, I'm under 50.
So, yeah.
But where the camaraderie that you kids have, I mean, it is so nice to see, and everybody is very welcoming with each other, teaching one another and everything. Yeah. It's not like, well, okay, well, you do your job, I do my job, whatever. Yeah. It's a true collaboration, which is really nice to see amongst everybody. And to get this little project that you've created, you know, produced and get it up and going and filmed.
It's grown a lot since day one.
Yeah.
And I'm super grateful for, because like when I was like interviewing people to be on crew, like that's exactly what I was looking for. Like I wanted a very like welcoming and uplifting crew to, because like you're spending all these hours together, you might as well, you know, have fun and like also learn. And yeah, so I've been very fortunate in the like people who have been like been able to be signed on. And yeah,
and there's been some few bumps in the road but you still have been able to overcome all of those and still been able to come together, which is really nice.
Being the executive producer of this project, where like I have seen everything, like a lot of behind the scenes stuff has gone into making this, and it took it was, even like Casey, like you've seen me on some of the moments where like I was damn near a mental breakdown, like on set. Like it's producing is one of the hardest jobs because you're constantly putting out fires.
Right.
And yeah, but it's been also just amazing to, you know, see how much this project has grown. And it's been just like super fun to be on set with everyone. And it's just been like, I just couldn't be happier with where it is.
That's good.
It's like, such a good feeling when you feel happy and proud of the work you've done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you know where this will stream on or be available?
That part, like the distribution deal is kind of confidential. We're like working out contracts right now, but I'll let it out. I'll let it out soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to let people know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know what that music means. Well, that music means, of course, that we've got Oz Davis on the phone to talk to us about sports. Oz, how are you?
Oz.
Oh, I'm great. Hello, everybody. And in light of your opening song, I especially wanted to say hello to Casey.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes. Since everybody else in sports world is talking about football, you want to talk about baseball?
Oh, let's talk about a little bit about everything, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, everything. Not too much going on per se, except in football and baseball. But let's talk about baseball first. Hey, Albert Pujols, congratulations. We talked about him a little bit last time I was on the show about a year ago. Last night, we're recording this on Saturday, the 24th of September. So last night on Friday night, hit number 699 and number 700. At Los Angeles, right in our backyard, basically, against the Dodgers in a rout of the Dodgers, 11-0. So always good to see that. And becomes the fourth player in Major League history to hit 700 home runs.
Wow.
So congratulations to him. It looks like the Cardinals are going to advance to the playoffs, and they're looking pretty good right now. So it would be pretty nice to see his career continue as far as possible, maybe even to the World Series. It definitely be referential to the Dodgers, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And also in home run land, Aaron Judge is stuck at 60 home runs. He's been there for a little while. For a lot of this break that we've been on, he hasn't had one. It's pretty funny because every time they're playing in New York now, they're bringing out Roger Maris's family.
Oh,
to sit in the press box. Oh, yeah. So every time you see the Yankees game and he's up, they cut away on basically every pitch up to the press box.
Mm.
And the Maris family is up there and whatnot. You know, so he's trying to get that 61 home runs. Now, they've got 11 games left. It means they've only got 4 games left before 154, right? Which in New York, they always say, okay, that's the 154 game record. Babe Ruth, 60 home runs. Can you beat that? And it's very interesting that this tradition is being kept alive, you know, because the real record, of course, is 72 or whatever. But, you know, in New York, they're all agog about Babe Ruth and Roger Maris's record. So, but in any case, Perhaps more significantly, Aaron Judge is on pace for the Triple Crown here. 60 home runs, 128 RBIs, I'm sorry, and 316 batting averages, which is interesting because did you know, I complain a lot about the state of baseball on the show, but this is the fifth lowest hitting season of all time. No, it's sixth, I think, since 1871. Okay, this is the lowest that batting has been in the major leagues since 1968, which is the all-time low. And that was the year when Carl Yastrzemski, that was the year after Carl Yastrzemski won the Triple Crown, but he was pretty close that year as well. And so these Triple Crown years tend to happen in these outlier years of batting averages. Now, already the last 3 years, we've seen three of the top 10 worst years for batting. And again, like we're on pace here to, we're just catching up to, let's see, I think it's 1884, if you can remember way back then. I remember that.
I think I might be able to.
Yeah, I remember very well. Yes, I think the Louisville Colonels were the champions that year. In any case, and just one more note on baseball for the hometown. On September 19th, the annual tradition was observed, and the Angels were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Yes, they were.
Unfortunately, I couldn't call in last week because I had news of Mike Trout hitting home runs in seven consecutive games.
Yeah,
which tied a record. Right, exactly, which was one of the, you know, few highlights of this year after May. We had an awesome May, but after that, you know, everything has gone to hell in Angel Land once again. And of course, the sad news is that everybody's taking it for granted that Ohtani won't last next season with the Angels. Yeah. If even this offseason. Mm. So without being traded or signing with somebody else, they're talking about new ownership there in Anaheim and whatnot. So I don't understand. I thought you were supposed to keep assets before you sell the team. But
yeah, exactly.
Whatever. They're thinking the other way. Let's see. How am I doing on time?
We got about 4 minutes left, Oz.
4 minutes left. Okay. Just wanted to give a shout out then. I don't have too much time left. Let's say happy retirement to Roger Federer. Mm-hmm. Last night, he retired at age 41 with 20 open championships under his belt, as well as 8 in doubles. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a couple of medals from the Olympics for Switzerland as well, which is, you know, not exactly known as one of the great tennis powers of the world, but one of the greats here. And you know, they played a doubles match in the Laver Cup again on Friday, and he actually teamed with Rafael Nadal, which was nice, but, you know, again, it was against two young guys, and so they lost, and it was kind of sad. And then, you know, they kind of had to do the thing where after the guy retires, they're doing an interview on the court now. I don't know when this came in, but it's really kind of cringy. Every time I see it. So, but they did this with him, and that's going viral because it was so emotional and whatnot. And so, yeah, no. So anyway, but good luck to Roger Federer. Yeah. Hey, have a great retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Retiring at a young age, man. I mean, too many crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about sports, right?
Exactly.
That's the thing about sports. It's a good news, bad news thing. Okay, you get to be on top of the world for like 10 years, maybe, if you're lucky.
Right.
You get to retire at age 40, and then that's the bad news as well. You know, then what? Then what? Which is the question so many of these people have.
If you're smart, you'll be doing like Allspice commercials.
Right, and if you're not smart, you're like Scottie Pippen, and you give all your money away, and you're bankrupt now, and you have to complain about Michael Jordan to get pressed.
And hopefully you get paid for that.
Exactly. He's getting beer money at least. So, you know, so in any case, good luck, Roger. Stay sane. You know, go back to Switzerland for a little while and chill out now. Other than that, gee, I wish I could say more good things about the Rams. Good luck, Rams. Come on, hold it together. They got a lot of holes after going all in on the Super Bowl last year. I don't know. We're kind of iffy this year.
What do you think is causing that, though?
Well, the thing is, you lost two guys off the line. Odell Beckham is still injured, thanks to you jinxing him in the Super Bowl, Sean. By the way, I'm still holding that against you. I'm sure he is too.
That's okay. You know, I don't mind.
things like this. But again, remember last year, again, they went all in. They had basically all stars at every position. And this year they just don't. They drafted, they only got one decent rookie this year. This kid, Jameel Williams, I believe his name is. And he was supposed to be their halfback. And first quarter, first game, injured.
Oh, geez.
Ankle injury, out for 6 to 8 weeks. Right. So they have no running game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just they got all stars at maybe 15 of 22 positions, but they got holes at the rest of them. Mm. And this is the problem with the Rams this year. I mean, they'll be good. They'll make the playoffs, but fingers crossed that they go far.
Right. Now, do you think they'll get better by the Pro Bowl?
By the Pro Bowl? Well, yep. That's, you know, that's the most important game of the year if you're a degenerate gambler.
Well, yeah.
And the Pro Bowl this year is, it's AFC just playing the Rams as the Pro Bowl, pretty much.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It could very well be. I mean, might as well, right?
Good guy.
And I thought it was
the thing is, they
I thought it was going to be the Raiders playing like a high school football team instead.
Yeah, but then nobody tunes in except for Raiders fans, right? Well, right, then again, that is half the country. So, in any case, they could very well play the entire Pro Bowl game this year. Sure, why not? That game used to be in Hawaii, and now they floated, I believe. So they play in different locations now. So in the old days, it used to be hell yes, so I'll go hang out in Hawaii for a week. Now, like most guys, pass.
Yeah,
you know, you're getting down to your fourth and fifth choice, and then they put it before the Super Bowl, so you can't have any of those guys.
Right.
They're playing the Super Bowl automatically. So,
right.
You know, so the Pro Bowl is really the worst all-star game of all the sports.
Agreed.
It is widely acknowledged.
Yeah.
The other ones are fun.
Yeah. They should just call it flag football.
Hey, real quick, Forrest, when do we see more of your scripts? When is your fiction sports podcast coming?
We'll talk offline about that as I'm still
excellent.
In the writing process.
Yeah,
thank
great.
You,
I was hoping you did some of that over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. No.
I'm intrigued.
Thank you. We'll update people when there's something to update.
Swell.
Swell. Awesome. Oz, we got to hate to cut it short though, but we gotta get going. But thank you so much, man. I appreciate
you got a full
it.
Show.
Absolutely. Actually, we will probably talk to you again next week since it's at the top of the month again as well.
Excellent. All right, we'll be ready to talk more.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you then. Thanks
Ciao,
so much,
guys. Have a good one.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, by next week, baseball should be figured out for the playoffs and all that.
Yeah.
My Brewers are trying to sneak in there to the wild card, and it's not looking good right now.
Yeah.
So.
I always love that theme song. It's a good theme song.
It is.
Who picked that, I wonder? I don't know.
Maybe we can find out from the research department.
Yeah, exactly. Big research department.
Yes.
Big research.
I'll email them.
Yeah. Would you please?
Your weekly dose one. Gmail.
Again, we've been gone for 2 weeks, you know, and so many things have happened. And of course, the biggest thing, of course, is the Queen passing away. You know, I was, you know, looking at the history of what she's done and everything, and it's just been amazing, you know, on her reign overall, you know, mistakes and all and everything. And by chance, did any of you guys watch The Crown?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I don't think the family would be happy with all that being out there, but...
Well, some of it was no secret either, though.
Fair. But still, I think... I don't know. Because it's like, I don't know which part is real and which part's not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that, like, all the royal family kind of has their own take on what happened.
Right.
And that... unless, like, they're in the writer's room, I don't know if there could truly be, like, a real, you know, realistic depiction of, like, all the family stuff behind the scenes that even the media didn't see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely, like, interesting to see, like, you know, just the behind the scenes that we were able to see from the media and stuff, and, all the, you know, what it takes to be in the royal family and the expectations and all of that. Because, you know, people like the idea of, you know, all this stuff, but to see, like, the reality of what it can take from you or what it can add to you is an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, because for her to take the crown at the age of 25 And if you think about it, too, she really wasn't supposed to be in line for the crown at all, you know, because her it wasn't until her uncle, who was the king at the time, you know, gave up the crown that then her father became king. So then after his passing, you know, then she became queen. So it was like it was never supposed to be that.
Yeah.
You know, and but now then to have this reign of 70 years.
Yeah.
You know, and for a lot of people, that's the only monarch that they've known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was talking to my wife, Karen, and it's like for us, it's kind of like, geez, the only other queen I know is Freddie Mercury, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it.
This has got to be like sort of one of the last monarchy kingdoms in the world that people still find relevant. Am I wrong?
Relevant, yes, because I mean I know the King of Spain went to the funeral and you know other monarchs went, but they don't have the majesty or that the British have.
Correct. Yeah.
With it, you know, overall.
Yeah.
You know, and my mom and I were even talking about, you know, how Charles will do,
right,
you know, with it. I personally think that if he's smart, once technically he's king now, because once the queen died, he becomes king. But, you know, his coronation, though, I think right after his coronation, the smart thing to do is to visit the Commonwealth with his boys. You know, I think that would be the smartest thing to do, because no one has visited the Commonwealth in so many years, including the queen herself. I mean, the last trip, I think, was done in, like, what, the 60s, I think, or something. So I think for him to go out and visit the Commonwealth to help strengthen it overall would be smart. Because I know there was reports coming in from Australia saying that once the queen passes, they're not going to be part of the Commonwealth anymore.
Okay.
Which means basically that the queen is not going to be the representative of the head of state for Australia.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's what the Commonwealth is. So the Commonwealth is all these different countries all around to where the queen is the head of state.
Yeah.
So, like, including Canada. Canada, it's the queen who's the head of state for them. So, and there was talk about that where Australia, that after the queen dies, they're going to, you know, break away from the Commonwealth.
Okay.
So I think it would be smart if Charles, you know, goes around.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what direction that's taken in, because it's not held in this sort of like religious, I don't know, reverence as it was, you know, before. I hear just as many people criticize or dismiss the monarchy or you know, the idea, the notion, as much as those that, maybe even more than those that have a reverence for it. So it's interesting to see where it'll head.
Yeah, I think it really is. I don't think Charles is going to do a bad job, per se, though. You know, I really don't. I think he's going to do very well.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely has big shoes to fill.
Sure,
you know.
Yeah. Because
most of his life, he's been just sort of this guy in waiting, like in the shadows, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, like I said, you think about it. I mean, she became queen at 25.
Right.
Yeah.
He's 73.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the oldest one to go into the monarch.
He's had time to think about what he wanted to do.
All this time.
Yeah.
You know, because mama ain't going yet.
Right.
You know, so.
When's his coronation?
They haven't announced that yet.
Okay. They're letting.
I think let things kind of die down for a little bit or whatever. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's valid. Like, the queen literally just passed. Like, it's good that they are giving him kind of time to like cope with that, you know,
right.
versus like, here you go, like, of course he's automatically king, but it's just like, I think it's nice to be
well, he's gonna mourn as well, he's gonna mourn her death and the family and
like
that.
The whole kind of have like a little moment of peace before there's like the official coronation. I think that's a good like respectful thing
and
to
Monday
do.
He looked really really tired, you know, because I mean it's
the death
of his mom, dealing with that, but then being thrust into the whole pomp and circumstance of the queen dying and all these different funerals, moving the body here, moving the body there, everybody coming out, you know, having the...
It's a lot for anyone.
So, you know, but to have it done on the public stage, you know, it's a little bit different too.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right,
another
right.
thing. And to be now, he's king and he has to, portray himself a certain way now.
Yeah.
You know,
It's different.
It is, and I think it's taken a lot out of him. He looked tired, I think, by the time Monday came around.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone would be. Right. Like, that's a lot to, even just, like, the death of, like, a close family member would take a lot out of you, plus all the responsibilities that comes with that is a lot.
Yeah.
Like, in, you know, in the royal family and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting now, because this is, you know, everybody's saying it's the end of an era, which it is.
Yeah.
You know, but now to really see what Charles is going to do, how he's going to handle everything, you know. And now if you think about it, we may not have another queen for a number of...
Oh, yeah.
For a long time now.
Yeah.
You know, because she was the last queen.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And he's got two boys. I don't know what the grandkids are situation boys. Is. Boy, all boys?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
So certain things would have to happen... Because I think there's Prince Charlotte, which is William's second, and so basically, like, if her brother becomes when her brother becomes king, if he decides to give up the crown, then it would go to her.
Mm.
Yeah, but that would be the only way. It would have to be one of those things again.
Mm.
You know, for that to happen, and then you know, also depending on when she would, you know. Take it up and how long her reign would be as well, too.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So, it's going to be really interesting to see how Charles is going to do with everything. So, well, listen, guys. Today's guest is a very special person to me. And like many of us, a lot of us here, you know, we grew up with her on ABC's The Love Boat that aired from 1977 to 87. And for 190 episodes, she warmed our hearts as Vicky Steubing, the daughter of Captain Merrill Steubing, played by the late, great Gavin MacLeod. Our guest is not of any famous parents like we've had in our past guests, but she is truly the perfect example of our continuing interview series, Growing Up Hollywood. Would you please welcome someone who I'm blessed to say is a friend, actress Jill Whelan. Hello, Jill!
What's up?
How are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you?
It is so good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You too.
It has been so long. The last time you and I saw each other, we were both over at Swampy's animation studio there, and you got to be a part of a play called Dick the Musical.
Yes.
That was so much fun.
It's a hilarious musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that musical.
It was so much fun.
Yeah,
it was fast. Yeah. Before we get started, Jill, I need to let people know how you and I kind of got to know each other. Of course, Jill Whelan not only, of course, starred on Love Boat, but she also got to work with someone who's also become a friend of mine, which is Brian Phelps from Mark and Brian, KLOS. And they did a podcast together. And I got to go down and visit them one time. And then the next time, I got to take my son with me. And do you remember how that went down, Jill?
Well, I just, you know, you're just the best dad in the world. And that was the sweetest thing. So, that was one of the great things about that podcast is that it really, the listeners and our crew and everything else, it really was like a family. It was pretty incredible.
It was. Well, I'm going to take you down memory lane real quick. Producer, Casey, would you go ahead and play that for me, please?
Right over
here.
We have Sean and Roman in. Now, Sean is a listener. He's been in here before, and he brought his son, Roman. How old is Roman? He's eight.
Eight?
He's Grant's age? Dude. I got some work to do.
Dude, this kid is super kid, although he is annoying me already.
Ah, well.
Step up to the mic, you two. This is Sean and his son, Roman. Step up to the mic because I got a problem.
Hey, guys.
Dad brings bagels.
Yes.
He brought 12, and there's only like a half one left. Roman ate them all.
Dude.
Thank you, Roman.
You're welcome.
So, Roman, when is your birthday?
My birthday's October 22nd.
Okay, so you're coming up on 9 now.
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Grant's got some time because this little boy.
Yeah, he's fearless.
You're incredible.
He's fearless and bright and shiny. And just remember, as you belly up to the mic there, Roman, that it's called the Brian and Jill Show. Roman is nowhere near this.
Yes, I know that.
Okay, all right, so let's not go mic hogging. Got a girlfriend?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Oh, you sound very adamant about that. Do you have anybody in mind?
Not really.
The priesthood?
No.
Okay. Aww. All right. What's your favorite, all these questions, you know, we're supposed to ask by law to an 8-year-old. What's your favorite subject in school?
Well, my favorite subject in school is actually math.
Good for you.
Oh, you're going to have to leave.
He's like smart and stuff.
Will someone, Tyler, will you escort the young one out?
Oh, now you get out.
Okay.
Oh. Hey.
If we had a math contest, I would. And you would kick my batootie.
Well, both of our batooties, because neither one of us can multiply anything.
How's it feel listening back to that, Jill?
Oh, my gosh. He sounds like such a little dude.
Well, the little dude is now just shy of being 18 years old.
Yes. He and Grant.
Right.
But he's much closer.
Well,
Grant
Jill,
in July.
Well, Jill, say hello to the almost 18-year-old Roman.
Because he's right here. And he's saying hi to you.
Oh, hey, Roman.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Got a girlfriend?
Oh, you! The thing is, I saw that coming too.
Well, did you? So it was the priesthood then.
Maybe. You never know with these things.
Oh my God! Well, yeah. How's your math doing?
My math is doing good. I dropped it senior year, so that's how you know I really enjoyed it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you sound like a man now.
I hope so. If I don't, I still have some growing up to do. And like,
oh my God.
Like, October's coming up. That's not good.
Hey, I know. Seriously. Seriously.
Jill, he is now kind of following in both of our footsteps. He has taken film production in high school, and he's also a theater tech in high school.
Excellent. Excellent. The grooming is happening for the theater film person.
And
I love it.
And what's scary is that he's taking it to like a fish to water.
Well, I think that's great. I mean, that's, listen, you and I both know you can't be in this business unless you love it, because there's so much heartache attached that you have to love it.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah.
So you got to love it.
So anyway, so he's got to get going real quick, though. But I wanted you guys to say hello real quick. Cause it's been about 10 years since you guys have spoken to each other.
Dude, it's been a minute for sure.
So,
Well, Roman, it was so good to hear your voice. Congratulations on all your successes. I can't wait to see your first movie.
Okay. I got some working to do now.
It's about a guy looking for a girlfriend.
Oh, no, don't you.
He loves math so much.
That's awesome. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, you take care. And I'm serious. I can't wait to see all the amazing things you create.
Well, thank you, Jill.
All right. Where are you going?
Going to a choir rehearsal.
Nice.
I'm still singing after all these years.
I love samesies. I love it. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, good for you. Go harmonize.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, that was so sweet. Oh.
I thought you would enjoy that, Jill.
I did, Sean. That is so wonderful. He's just as incredible as he was before.
I'm so proud of him. You know, he's done so well. And even through the whole pandemic thing, you know, everybody was complaining with their kids about, geez, they're having trouble with this. He still got straight A's, and he was doing school online for his sophomore year.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
He did.
That was a tough one for our guys.
It was. It really was. And real quick, how is the family doing? How are your boys doing?
Everybody's great. They're all happy, snappy. And, you know, Harrison is obviously moved out because he was, I think, in college when I was doing the podcast. But Harrison's 27 now.
Good God.
I know. He's an editor. And Grant is in his junior year, starting to think about colleges. He wants to go into game development and design.
Wow.
So we're working on that. And, you know, I'm just hustling like usual.
Very cool. Very cool.
Did your boys, this is Forrest speaking. Hi, Jill.
Hey there.
Or did your boys just naturally gravitate towards the arts, or did you encourage them in that respect?
I never encouraged or discouraged. Mm-hmm. It's funny because it's taken me or taken Grant a lot of years to figure out what it is that he likes. Hmm. Harrison was making movies and editing them from 10 years old and with no, I didn't even know he was doing it. He just showed me a finished product one day. And so for him, that was his, it's always been his passion. For Grant, you know, it took him a while to figure out what it was that he wanted to do. And we exposed him to everything, sports, music, everything. And this is something that in the past 2 or 3 years has really become his passion. So, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your passion, Jill. You know, it's so funny. You came from Oakland, California.
Yep.
And how did you get into acting overall? Because you started at an extremely young age.
Yes. Well, when I was, God, I don't know if I was seven, I think my mom was a preschool director in Northern California, and she needed a place for me to be in the summertime while she was teaching. And so the only thing that was happening that she thought would be creative enough for me is they were doing a local production of The King and I. And she thought, oh, that's King and I, that's a mostly kids. It'll be like summer camp. That's perfect. So yeah. She found the local vocal coach in the town who coincidentally was also playing Anna The King. And she said, I don't teach kids. And my mom said, I don't need you to teach her. She just needs a one-time song to audition.
Okay.
Do you remember the song?
I can't remember what. I mean, my gosh. yeah, but she, we became dear friends to this day. And that's kind of how it started, was that. And the other kids were all doing commercials in San Francisco. And I wanted to get involved in that. So I asked them how you do that. And they said, it's super easy. You just send your picture into this agency, which I did unbeknownst to my folks. And
oh,
then
really?
Yeah, we got a call and they said they'd like to see me. And my mother said, well, how do you have her school picture? She said, well, she sent it to us.
Oh my gosh. I know.
So, 8-year-old Jill Whelan sends off her own stuff.
Yeah. And so my mom said, I will take you to auditions and all of that, but I will not go in with you. If you want to do this, you're going to do it on your own. I'll take you. I'll wait outside.
Really?
And the minute that you get upset and the minute it's no longer fun, we're out.
Wow.
So you need to know that.
Wow.
And so that was kind of it. That's kind of how it started. And then it just was a trajectory that I had no control over. You know, it's just one of those things that it just happened.
Jill, here you are 8 years old. You're doing your very first, you know, musical and everything, though. What was it that attracted you to the whole thing to say, this is what I want to do?
I just loved acting and singing and dancing. I just loved it. And I would do it at home with, you know, as a lot of little thespians do, sitting in front of the mirror in the bathroom with a hairbrush or with the toilet paper roll, doing commercials in the mirror or singing.
Really?
And yeah, wow. Used to put on little plays in the living room with my brother and sister and cousins.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I mean, for me, I was an only child, and I kind of did that out of desperation to have, you know, imaginary friends. You know, and of course, my thing was being the musician, so I always picked up the tennis racket, you know, and pretend I was Paul McCartney or John Lennon or something.
Sure.
Right.
You know, that's what it was for me. So.
And it sounds like your mom was not this Hollywood helicopter mom kind of hovering over you.
Well, she was in that she never... Her first instinct and the way that she comported herself was, this is my kid and I need to protect her. It was never, this is my kid and I'm going to make her a star.
Mm, nice.
That's the difference. Mm. And so she was, and still is, you know, she has a very good sense of self. Mm. And I can remember one time when I first started on the series I did before Love Boat, a producer came up to me on the first day with my mom and said, if there's anybody on this set that Jill doesn't like, just let us know and we'll have them fired.
Wow.
And my mother looked at her and laughed and said, you know what? if you ever give my daughter that kind of power again, we'll be out of here before the ink on that contract is dry.
Wow.
Don't do that.
Holy
and that's
God.
Who she was. She was like, I don't care about the money. I care about my kid. And she was very frightening. So I'm still scared of her. Which is why I haven't been arrested yet.
Oh, and that's a good thing, right?
Yes. Well, oh, no, very... I'm scared to death of my mother.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's so interesting because, I mean, everybody's parents, whatever, it's sometimes with parents like that, like their career maybe didn't go the way they wanted it to go to, so they try and do it through their kids, and which I always feel is a very bad reason to push your kids into anything, you know.
Well, that's why most of the ones, if you hear about them, it's usually because their parents are missing out on the career that they wanted. That was not my mom's thing ever. I think my mom was very happy to be on the set with me because she was in an unhappy marriage. And so any opportunity to escape that. And by the way, my dad, may he rest in peace, was a lovely man. So it was just they were not well suited. You
right.
know, they had different. So I think for her, it was a relief to be out of the home and be with me on a set and that kind of a thing. And my brother and sister were a little bit older. So my sister was finishing up high school and my brother was starting college. So
got it. OK. And so basically, so you're the youngest then out of the three.
I am.
Wow. And so your mom was truly, really the anchor then and kept you really grounded through this whole time.
Yes, very
Amazing.
Much so. Still tries to do that today.
As mothers should, right?
Yeah.
As mothers should. With that then going on, I know you got into a little bit of the commercials and everything, but how did the whole thing where getting on the Love Boat, how did that come about for you?
So I was doing commercials, still living in Northern California, but I had an agent in Los Angeles now at this point, and he started sending me out on stuff. And there was an audition for the road company of the musical Annie. The auditions were down at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion. I went down and I auditioned, and there was a talent scout there from Aaron Spelling Productions. And they saw me, and I got I got hired to do Annie, but then I also was asked to audition for a new series that Aaron Spelling was doing, and I auditioned for that and I got that as well. And I had to choose. So I'd always wanted to be on TV, so that's what I chose. And then I did the series for Aaron.
Now,
and then go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jill, I was going to ask, now the audition you did for Annie, was that for the film version?
No, it was for the touring company of the
music.
Oh,
the touring company. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So then I did the series for Aaron, and then as he did with all of his corral of actors on all his different shows. I mean, he had Charlie's Angels, he had Starsky and Hutch, he had SWAT, he had Family. Wait, no, did he have Family? I don't know. No, Family wasn't his show. Dynasty, all of that stuff. They would all come and do episodes of The Love Boat as guest stars. And so I was lucky enough to be one of those people. And the part they had me play was the character Vicky. Uh-huh. But I hadn't been, you know, it was insinuated that I could be the captain's daughter. But because I had another series to go back to, it was sort of left open-ended. And when my series before Love Boat did not get picked up, Aaron brought me back as a series regular on Love Boat. And so that's how that happened.
Wow. So it was almost an accident kind of a thing then.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's again, one of those right place, right time things.
Wow.
What was it like for you then at that age to all of a sudden be thrust into that type of a show? Because I know Love Boat, when it first started, it didn't get great ratings though. And it took a little while for everything to build up and to where now it's, you know, a beloved, you know, TV show. What was it like for you at that age to be thrust into that type of a thing?
Well, for me, it was just fun. I mean, you know, it's not like I was an adult who really understood what it meant to get on a top five television series. You know, it was just, for me, it was like, oh, great. I get to go do more fun things. I get to go play act on another place.
Wow.
You know, for me, that's what it was like. So I didn't have any fear. I just was excited. The fear and stuff only came when I became an adult. you know, and I could understand the amazing world I was in, you know.
Wow, that's so. I mean, you almost had just a very true naivete about the whole thing then, into this experience.
I mean, I was 9, 10, 11 years old. I mean, what do we know at that age? We just have fun, you know.
True.
And I had a mother who didn't, you know, I wasn't one of those kids who was a 40-year-old in a 10-year-old's body, you know. I was very sheltered. I was very innocent because my mom raised me that way. So for me, it really was just fun and the wonder of it all.
Was there anything that scared you about it, though, at that age of knowing, or was it still that naivete still there?
Not scared of a thing, just super excited.
Wow. That's amazing, because, I mean, very few people, I think, have that, you know, going in overall.
Well, it might just have been stupidity. I'm not sure.
Yeah, true. You never know. You never know.
No.
The other actors, I know they greatly embraced you overall. I know Gavin was very protective of you. How protective were those actors with you, having this young child coming in to be a part of this adult ensemble cast?
They were immensely protective and incredibly loving and supportive. I mean, I never felt like a third wheel. I never felt like, why, you know, don't work with animals and kids. None of that. They were amazing. And we're all still so very close to this day.
Yeah, I was just kind of looking at one of the reunion things that you guys did when you guys found out you were getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and you know, to have that and to still be that close, and so far, the only cast member that's been gone is Gavin, and that was just last year.
Yeah.
So it's amazing on the closeness that you. What do you think contributed to that closeness?
Well, I think first of all, when we were doing the Love Boat back then, there were only 3 networks. There was no Fox. There was no cable. There was no HBO when we started. Mm-hmm. And so, well, actually, there probably was HBO, but it was just that little black box. It was a different thing. But we cruised together in small quarters for 10 years.
Wow.
So when you are doing a show like that, in a bubble like that, on a ship like that, you get real close real quick, especially when you have all Gavin and Bernie always, as the leaders sort of the cast, would always make sure we all understood that the star of the show was the ship and the guests. And so they always had us treat it as though the set and the soundstage was our home, and we were welcoming these people into our homes. Mm-hmm. And it was important that we were good hosts and to make people feel welcome. So it kind of just lent itself to this very familial feeling.
Yeah, the premise of the show itself is built in a way where you're going to just rub elbows with different people every week. And we were kind of wondering what guests come to mind that stood out from any of those episodes.
Oh, gosh, there's so many. I mean, we had over 1,200 guest stars, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Andy Warhol comes to mind.
Wow.
Gene Kelly comes to mind.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Yeah.
I
mean, there's just so many. I mean, and crazy guest stars like you'd never imagine, like Andy Warhol or Halston or Gloria Vanderbilt, who were all guests on the show.
Wow.
Not actors, but so fun, so different.
And at 9 and 10 years old, did you realize who they were at that time?
Well, I think when they were on, those particular ones, I think I might have been slightly older, maybe 16. And I knew obviously who they were and all of that. My brother is an incredible artist. So Andy Warhol, for him, was... And he was an art major at USC, and that was incredible. And I ran into Andy in New York. I was shopping at a store, and I get a tap on my shoulder from this gal who says, are you Jill Whelan? And I said, yeah. She said, well, I work for Andy Warhol, and if he knew you were here, he would be so excited and want me to invite you down to the factory. Do you have any time to do that?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah. So, who in this day and age would talk to some stranger on the street who says they work for Andy Warhol, and then you get in a cab with them?
Oh my God.
You drive to the factory. I mean, like, it's such an unbelievable thing that I would have done that, but I did, and it was. And I went there, and Andy met me, and he gave me a tour and signed a couple of posters. And
wow.
Yeah, so that was a pretty incredible thing. And I did know who he was through my brothers, specifically. But there were so many. Ethel Merman and I were pen pals.
Mm. Wow.
You know, Tom Hanks was adorable. There was so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even me looking back and thinking about all the different guest stars. I mean, like you said, everybody from Gene Kelly to Michael J. Fox to Sonny Bono, you know, had done it. You know, Charo was on it, a few times too, and everything. And you know, and these were either up and coming actors, or they were, you know, big time established Hollywood legends. You know, kind of a thing. And you know, to me, it's like, holy cow. You know, I think looking back at it, Jill, does it ever surprise you? And you go, how did I get there, or how did I get here?
You know, I don't do that. I guess I probably should, but I don't. I just, you know, it's I don't have anything else to compare it to. So for me, this was my life.
Wow, amazing! That's just amazing. How tough? I mean, because you literally grew up for 10 years, or actually 9 years, on the show. How tough was it for you to grow up in front of the camera? Or was it tough?
It was tough in a way, in that I was to be a child when they wanted me to be a child, but an adult when they wanted me to be an adult. And I think going through puberty in front of America is not easy.
Right.
For all the reasons that we know, just going to school and then put on top of that, there's one of three networks. People feel they know you. They can come up and say things to you that no stranger would say, but you're in their living room every Saturday, you know, so that's hard. And I think the only other thing that was hard is not, I mean, I guess it's a product of the industry, but it's also just a product of the individual who's saying it. We had a producer, Doug Kramer, who was horrible to us. I can say that now because he's dead.
Okay.
But I wouldn't have said it when he was alive. Mm. But he was a misogynistic guy who would tell me that tell my mother that I needed to lose weight. And things like that. My mother would say, I'm not putting a 14-year-old on a diet. Thank you very much.
Right.
But still, that she'd feel the pressure from them. And I was never, I had a very round face. And so it made me look heavy when I was a kid. Now I'm very grateful for a round face because it helps you from looking older. Mm-hmm. But back then, you know, I was just, and it's awkward. So that was the only part. But it was only really coming from that one guy and not necessarily anybody else other than the pressure that people in wardrobe might have felt when I'd come in for fittings and just hoping that I would, you know, fit into a certain size. I mean, at 13 years old, I could wear the same size pants that Cheryl Ladd wore on Charlie's Angels. And I know because I put them on.
Oh, my God.
So,
wow,
you know, it's a lot of pressure, but it is part of the industry. I mean, it just is. And it's changed a bit now. I mean, you look and you see people, real people on TV now all the time. You know, Shonda Rhimes is really wonderful at portraying people as they are. Not everybody, you know, is a toothpick with a pair of boobs anymore.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
It's people are who they are. And I think that's so much more healthy in this world for women. One of my favorite songs right now is the song by Jax called Victoria's Secret.
Oh yeah.
It's true.
Oh.
Yes, very true. Yeah, I agree.
It's true. And we need more of that for young women and young boys who are just trying to figure out who they are and how they fit in. We don't need more people saying how we don't fit in.
Yeah.
We need people saying more how we do fit in.
Mm, love right. that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Very true. Jill, I growing up also, you know, not, but in front of America, but the fact too is that there's the dark side of Hollywood, and with the cast being very protective of you, did any of that ever get through, or did they really keep that away from you, whether it be alcohol or the drugs or seeing other celebrities who might have the same problem?
Again, my mother was very much involved mm-hmm. in keeping me focused on what was right and what was appropriate. So I didn't really have any issues with that at all. I mean, I was too busy. I was working.
Right.
So it wasn't like I could be out partying. Mm. I was working.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's great.
Yeah. You know, it is because, I mean, it's very tough because I'm also friends with Aileen Quinn, who played the title role of Annie in the film.
Uh-huh.
And I asked her the same question, you know, how did you keep away? Because there's so many child stars that end up on the wrong side for whatever reason, you know, whether it was, you know, somebody from our era, you know, like a Todd Bridges, you know, or somebody from, you know, new like an Amanda Bynes or Bynes. Yeah. You know, something like her. So, you know, it's always interesting to hear on how somebody like yourself or Aileen made it through without having those issues.
Because it's all about family. It just is. It's about, and it doesn't have to be the family you're born into, but whoever you choose to be your family
mm-hmm.
when you're young. I mean, this is an adult business.
Right.
This is with children in it, which is, you know, just such an odd combination of things. Mm-hmm. And when people, and it's all about money. And so when a child comes in and they are the meal ticket for the rest of the crew or for the producers, they get a certain amount of power. And as a child, you shouldn't know how to deal with that kind of power. You're not equipped to deal with that kind of power.
Very true.
You're still trying to keep your acne at bay.
Oh, God,
so,
yes.
So, but this industry, that's one of the downfalls, and it's up to the family. And I've always said my mother could care less about the money and the fame. All she had in her mind that she was concerned about was the welfare of her daughter. And that is the attitude you have to have. When these kids go in there, their parents get wooed by the money, by the power, by the fame, and they forget that their main job is to parent their kid and to protect their kid. And so what happens is when they fall into that trap, where it is about the money and, oh, we got to get you on this show. We got to get you doing this. We got to get you doing that. And then one day when it's taken away from them, they don't know who they are because their entire identity has been wrapped up in the power and the fame and the pressure of providing for their adult parents or their brothers and sisters. It's not normal and it's not natural. And so it's so important that if you have a kid, and I used to teach acting classes to kids, and I would say this to their parents all the time, it is vital that they have a childhood that's a childhood. They should never have power like that.
Yeah.
They should never know how much money they make. They shouldn't know any of that.
Yeah.
So, and that's the downfall with these kids, is that their parents, you know, Lindsay Lohan's mother wanted to be a star just as much as Lindsay did, maybe even more.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I did that with Roman several years back. Actually, it was around the time that you met him. He was a little bit older. Because I sat him down and where he decided he really wanted to start into singing more with choir and everything. And so we were getting him vocal lessons and and everything. He's got the great personality. He's definitely the apple did not fall far. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
But the thing is, I sat him down and I said, "Look, I said I want you to do this because you enjoy it. You want to go out there and entertain the crowd. You want to go out there and make them happy." I said, "If you're doing it for me, or to get on my good side, or to make Dad proud or whatever," I said, "you stop it right now." I said, "because anything you do in your life, I'm going to be proud of no matter what." I said, "so if you're going to follow my footsteps, one of two things, you're going to do it right, and you got to do it for yourself."
Right.
And
well, that's kind of the same thing my mom did with me by saying, "I'm not going in with you. If you want to do this, this is all about you, because this is not a business for the faint at heart.
Right.
If you want to go out there and do it, you're going to walk into that audition by yourself. You're going to learn those lines. You're going to do it. I'll take you. I will protect you from all the other parts, but this is all on you."
I think that's a great lesson, Jill.
Yeah. Well, it has to be. It's the only way.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, and Roman's done things his own way as well. You know, I've tried to push him just to be better, let's say, you know, because like he plays piano and he sings and stuff. And I told him, I said, "you know, you just try maybe learn a song a week kind of a thing, you know, just push yourself in that aspect." But as far as anything else, you know, he's done it at his own pace. And I couldn't be more proud of him overall, you know, in the things that he's accomplished, whether it be choir, whether it be in his film video production class, or even his tech class. And, you know, it's just been a joy just to also just sit back and watch. And then he goes, "Dad, can you teach me about this? Can you teach me about that? Because I need to do this for tech class." Okay, no problem. You know, and we'll spend time together working on whatever he needs to learn real quick. And, I just stand back and let him shine. And when he does go out and do choir or whatever, I'll ask him, you know, "how did that performance feel?" Because I don't feel he's my son at that point. I feel like he's a peer at that point.
Right.
You know, and that's just such a joy also, you know, with it.
It is. To watch your kid thrive is all we can ask for as parents.
Right. Exactly. Yep. You know, growing up and everything with the whole Hollywood thing, you were on the show for 9 years. How tough was it for you when the show ended? Were you happy that it was over with, or, you know, was it kind of like a final relief, or was it like, or was it something a little bit different for you?
It was a little bit of relief, because then I could be a kid. But then there was a pressure afterwards that you're only as good as your last job, and what are you doing next?
Right. Very true.
So then I left and I went to college in England, came back to LA, said, "nope, still don't want to be here." And I moved to New York.
Wow. Now, what made you decide to move to New York?
I wanted a change of venue.
Got it.
Yeah.
I just wanted something different. I didn't want to be in the town where I felt the pressure of having to be this, that, or the other. Hmm. So I just moved to New York, and that was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I remember you talking to Brian on the show, too, that you worked at Madison Square Garden.
I went to work at the Garden because I had one friend in New York when I moved there, and she had said to me, "I think if you want to empower yourself, you should learn the other side of the business, and I can bring you under my wing and teach you." So I began working as a runner for her in production, and the year before I was co-starring with Stephanie Mills on Love Boat, or the 3 years before, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And now I was bringing her things to her dressing room.
Wow.
Which was fine. I didn't care. It was because for me, it wasn't about an ego thing. But I ended up creating a position for myself at the Garden as a liaison when they started doing the ESPY Awards and Essence Awards and bringing in TV cameras and doing things like that and doing specials. They didn't know the rules of television. I grew up with them. So I became the producer liaison between the production and the house. at Madison Square Garden, and we produced a ton of stuff. MTV Salute to Bob Dylan, Essence Awards, ESPY Awards, Harry Connick, Cher, all sorts of things. That was really fun, and it was a great learning experience. I learned a lot of stuff in production, and it was great.
Wow. That's amazing. What surprised me, though, is that like you just took it as just another job itself and had the same attitude that you had on The Love Boat with this one, though.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I have to attribute that to my mom. And, you know, it's sometimes actors tend to really elevate the gravitas of what it is that they do. Mm. England, I love how it's just another, it's just another job. It's another, because you're an actor doesn't give you any special
privileges, any,
you know, right. as an actor there. And I felt that way here. It's a craft. It's something that I love to do. And if I love to do it, I should learn all sides of it. And so I did. I didn't have a problem. I just love everything that has to do with production and the aspects of all of it. I just love it. So for me, it was just, you know, another outlet.
Another outlet, yeah. How old were you at that time, Jill?
Oh God, I got to go by how old my kids are. So Harrison's 27. So I was probably 26, 25.
Mm, got it. Okay. And because I mean, to me, that's like a good thing to, I think, get into at that age. Like you said, you've already learned one side of the craft, and then to get back on the other side. I'm sure you ran, like you said earlier, you ran into a bunch of different people after the show at Madison Square. Did they treat you any differently at that point, knowing who you were at the time, or...?
Didn't run into too many people. I mean, it was literally maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. I don't know.
I mean, was it like, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be like on another TV show or something? Or
if they might have said that, they may have. I don't recall that. And for me, it was, again, I wanted to learn this side of the business. And I think people were more... I think they were more fascinated by the fact that I was interested in the other side of the camera. Yeah. And it really wasn't other performers. It was more like IATSE and, you know, and crew more than anything else. Stagehands Union, all those guys were all like, wow, what is she doing here? Hmm. You know? And but then we worked together every day. So then it was, you know, it just became normal.
Right. Because I know, was it for Henry Winkler? You know, it was somewhat similar, but he got a little bit typecasted. And I know for him it was hard to get roles. And then that's why he kind of went into the producer side of things. And then things kind of progressed. And, of course, now, thankfully, he's kind of come back to the acting side of things again. And,
right. You know, well, I think there's a desire for a lot of us actors to want to get into the production side of things because you have a little bit more control over being able to cast yourself or produce content. And I think that's why so many of them are moved over that way. And it's an empowering thing to do.
Speaking of that itself, what are you currently working on now, Jill?
I am... I don't know how much I can say.
Okay.
But what I can say is that I am working on a series that I am executive producing.
Wonderful.
We are working. I'm working with a network. Wow. And so I can't really say much more about that.
Yep.
Can you tell us what it's about?
I wonder.
I can't tell you, but what I can tell you is, look, I wish I could tell you everything, but here's the thing, is there's a lot of steps between the step where I am and something when it's on the air, but I would say we're very, very, very far along. We are with a network. They have ordered the pilot. So
wonderful.
But I just need to wait a little bit longer before I can tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. So that's that project. And then
I want to be like Brian in here just for a minute. So can you tell us what the pilot's about?
But I can't.
In seriousness, that's great to hear, though. I'm glad that you're doing that, though.
Yeah. And then I have three other non-scripted shows that we're in the middle of pitching. Mm-hmm. So I am partnering with Princess Cruises on.
Mm. Oh, great.
Aww, nice.
One of them I'm partnering with, of all things, NASCAR.
Ooh. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's a, and then the other one I am, the other one is a game show.
Awesome.
Cool.
That is really cool. So you are keeping yourself very, very busy then.
Well, you know, I'm hustling as we always do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. I mean, because that's one thing in this business. You know, you have to do, you got to look at where's the next job coming from, you know, whether I'm creating it myself or I'm auditioning for it.
Yeah.
Correct.
That is awesome.
Listen, you guys, I got to jump because I've got two who want to go to, where are we going? Knott's Berry Farm.
You're coming by my house then. You are literally 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's hilarious. With bated breath at my door.
Okay. Well, in that case, we're going to do something a little bit early with you then. Something that you're very, very familiar with that you and Brian used to do, which is playing the game. And you know what that means, Joe.
Oh, God. Which one of the games is it? Will she know it?
No, it's just a matter because what did you guys call it on the show? I'm trying to remember.
I don't even remember.
Oh, No Apparent Reason, I think is what it was.
Oh, okay. No Apparent Reason. Got it.
Yeah. So ours is a little bit different, though. So producer Casey's going to kick it off here.
Okay.
And now, the game show that made Kevin Bacon turn down dancing to Footloose dressed as an M&M. Quiz me.
Quiz you.
So that's what we call it. Quiz me, quiz you.
Quiz you. Okay.
All right. So kind of like how you and Brian did it, Forrest is going to do the first five questions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the second five, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Question number one.
Am I answering all of these questions?
What's that?
Am I answering all these questions?
Yeah, you're included.
Okay.
Yeah.
First one to say their name is rings the buzzer to be called.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Number one, which planet was located only in 1930?
Which planet?
Which planet was located in the year 1930?
Sean. Earth.
No, we were there a little bit earlier than that.
Jill. Okay.
Yes, Jill.
Uranus.
Not Uranus.
I just wanted to say it.
Casey. Neptune.
Not Neptune. Nia.
Nia. Pluto.
Pluto is correct.
Yay!
Wait a minute. I have to contest. Pluto's no longer a planet.
That's right.
But it was discovered in 1930. Then they took it away.
In 1930.
Yeah.
And then I'm taking it away from you.
I never get the answers right. You can't take this from me.
All right. Number two. In the Disney classic Snow White sings Someday My Prince Will Come, and one other song. What's the name of the other song Snow White sings?
Oh.
Jill.
I'm Wishing.
Correct.
Oh, that's right.
Jill gets a point.
All right, Jill.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a number here on number three. How many films did Sean Connery play James Bond in?
Sean. Seven?
Seven is correct.
Yes.
Wow.
I think that was the contract they used to have.
Right, 007 Yeah. Would make sense.
Question number four. What is the primary ingredient in hummus?
Casey. Chickpeas.
Chickpeas was correct. Whoa. Did you know that one, Jill?
I did, and then there's also tahini.
Mm-hmm. See, Jill's also a foodie. If you ever follow her on Facebook, it's either her vacation pictures or food.
Mm. Well,
that's
it's a four-way tie going into question number five.
Oh, that hasn't happened in a minute. Mm.
What is your body's largest organ?
Jill. Skin.
Correct.
All right, Jill.
And I'm glad you jumped in there before Sean made a joke about
Something else. Something else. All right. Jill has 2 points.
All right, Jill. All right, here we go. Question number 6. Which two countries share the longest international border?
Jill. United States and Canada?
That is correct. Jill's going card.
Jill.
All right, question number 7.
I guess Jill is going to answer all these questions.
I guess so, yeah. What is the smallest country in the world?
Jill? Monaco. Oh, no, that's a principality.
No.
Shoot.
Casey? Liechtenstein?
No.
A forest?
Forest.
Luxembourg?
No.
Casey? Isn't it a... What's it, the Vatican City?
Yes, Vatican City.
Oh, smart.
Vatican City, yes. All righty, question number 8. What animals are pearls found in?
Jill? Oysters.
That is right, oysters. Jill, just got what, 5 already?
4.
Oh, my gosh.
He's running away with it here.
Wow. 300 points.
And just with that, you get to go to Knott's Berry Farm today, Jill. Okay, question number 9. Who wrote and recorded TV's The Big Bang theme song?
Casey. Bare Naked Ladies.
That is correct, Bare Naked Ladies.
There you go.
All right, question number 10.
No.
What is the other word in the title of the Pina Colada song?
Forest. Escape.
That is right.
I got one.
There you go. One.
But Jill is our winner to today's Quiz Me.
Nice. As she should be.
I am?
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
So, Jill, that means after Knott's Berry Farm, you get to come over to the house and have dinner with us.
There you go.
Sweetheart, it was such a pleasure to catch up with you and talk with you. And with everything that's going on with all the projects, do me the favor, please. Let us know when they do come out and everything, and we'll love to have you back on and talk about them again. Oh, did we lose her?
She's considering.
No. Oh, there we go. Okay. Now you're back.
Okay, we're back. Did you hear what I said, Jill, or no?
You said, do me the...
Yes, exactly.
Solid.
Do me the favor, and when your projects are fully complete and everything, and you can announce them, we'd love to have you back on and talk about them and promote them.
Sure, that'd be great. Absolutely.
Love to have that. And hopefully next time we can get you in the room, because like I said, we are literally like 5-7 minutes away from Knott's Berry Farm. So.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I live in Cyprus, so it's a hop, skip, and a jump, sweetheart.
Nice. Well, it was great to meet all of you guys. Yes. And please, Sean, give Roman a hug from me. And until next time, guys.
Absolutely. You take care of yourself, and love to the boys, too, and that husband of yours as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, what an awesome lady.
Yeah.
I told you. She's just, I mean, just full. And what's amazing, though, is I think the fact what she just talked about is keeping grounded in this industry. It is so hard to keep yourself grounded because you can lose yourself in different things and different aspects or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, when certain elements do come in, you know, are they there to protect you? Are they not there to protect you? Whatever it may be, you know, whether it be friends, family, or whatever, you know, and sometimes it's the people that you meet that bring you into that as well and helps bring you down.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with that as well, too.
Yeah, the company you keep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your boys, have they taken an interest of going into it or not really?
They have sort of the way Jill said, too, like, I just find my, I mean, like any kids, they're drawing or they're writing stories, but then my son all of a sudden had a script that he wrote, and we shot that because I said, you know, do you want to do this? Oh, yeah, I want to do it. So I try to also be aware not to, like, push on them I just want them to find what they're interested in.
Right.
And then help. If I can.
Right. And that's what I've done with Roman.
Yeah. And be aware that I'm not going to be that sort of like, oh, I'm going to fulfill all of my unfulfilled destinies on them, you know, and push it on them through their eye, you know. No.
Yeah. See, that's one thing I learned from my dad
was that because my dad was, and we've briefly talked about it, was a minor league baseball player. Mm-hmm. And my dad's passion was baseball.
Yeah.
So when I got into it at 9 years old, he was very, you know, happy about it, whatever. But then also at the same time, when I found music almost at the same age, my passion changed for a couple of different reasons. But, you know, he was so happy that I had a passion about something. So that was the bond that my dad and I had, even though they were two completely different passions.
Sure.
He understood the passion of itself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And encouraged me and to do those things and to push myself and all that.
Right, right, right.
And which was really great. And wow, I was going to ask you a question. No. Go do what you need to go. We won't tell you what she's going to be doing, though.
She has a different passion right
now. We just want to know, is it one or two? You know, hey. For you, though, Nia.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something for you as well that's been a passion of yours and everything. For you, what kind of journey are you seeking with this, though, on your own?
Acting has always been my number one since I was 12.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, kind of like what Joe was saying, I mean, what I notice is the more production jobs I get, the more acting opportunities I get, because you're in the room, and when a role is available, like, you have an opportunity. And so, but acting is definitely my number one and my number one goal, to be able to do that full time. And I'm lucky enough already to, like, you know, only a year and a half in this industry, and I'm working in the industry full time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, acting is always going to be my number one. And I like producing, but I think that because it kind of takes a lot out of you emotionally and mentally, like, it's like, it's a very stressful job. I think that it's one of those things where in film, I'd only produce if it's projects that I'm really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it wouldn't be worth the stress to me, you know? But I've been getting into casting. I've been getting more casting jobs lately, and I've been loving that. But I think definitely, like, acting's my number one, casting's my number two, producing's my number three. And I love writing, but uh-huh. That's kind of in with producing. Most of the stuff that I write, I want to produce myself and stuff.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, you've done television shows in the past and everything, where you've been a PA on different things and so forth.
Yeah, PA, field producer.
Yeah.
Now working sound.
For you doing that, how has it kind of come full circle for you on that end of the industry? Or is it something a little bit different? Or are you still looking for the next thing also for yourself?
Sound is kind of a full circle for me right now, only because I started in sound when I was in high school. That was that was like my introduction into this world of entertainment and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Started with audio. And I took first in New Jersey for radio production.
Right.
When I was in high school, they did like a Skills USA, which is a interstate competition between technical schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with the state, and then there are all the technical schools compete with one another on different topics, from everything from like cosmetology to welding and cabinetry and plumbing. And
wow.
Yeah. And then you do all of like the entertainment stuff. So there was acting, and then there was like broadcast journalism and audio mm-hmm. production and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then when you win within the state, then you compete on a national level against all the winners. And
wow.
So like I went to nationals when I was in high school. It was in like, what, Kansas City, Missouri.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was... So sound is actually the kind of the full circle on that. And then I fell away because I really enjoyed the production. I wanted to have like more hands-on mm-hmm. as far as like knowing what was going on in the other realms of the production. And then I started getting into like event organizing, stuff like that, understanding how a budget works. And
mm-hmm.
But yeah, so sound, now that I'm back on sound, it's
right.
That's where it's kind of come full circle mm-hmm. for me. And yeah, I don't know. I had initially when I was a little kid, I wanted to like be a little pageant queen and stuff like that. I had my friends
really?
That were going, oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, and my parents were like, no. Right. They're like, you're the third child, no way.
Does that exclude someone from pageants?
I think monetarily, yes.
Really?
No. Yeah, I think budgeting in those pageants with three other kids
no way.
A no go, right. They were like, you can play soccer at school.
Right.
And, you know, I did like acting and all of that jazz, and I just didn't really think it was very, like, secure or something that you could really build into as a skill. I've learned that later in life, that it's something that you can really kind of build yourself into and just kind of keep working yourself up. But behind the scenes seemed like something that was a little bit more, at least when I was in high school, this is a couple years ago now, it was more structured. Like studio productions were kind of really, really big at the time, and they were hiring and hiring and hiring, and networks were really huge. Cable was enormous. So it was a lot of like behind the scenes activity. And I worked for Comcast when I was in high school and stuff like that. So
it always amazes me on all the stuff that you've done. And then you sit here before us and go, and I go, why sometimes? You know, you can do so much better than, you know, but I'm
believing. Don't send her off. I mean,
No. I'm glad she's here. I'm glad she's here.
I have a blast. This has been really great.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
this really launched Sound Back Up for me. I mean, between this and the podcast gentleman that I had prior to this, where I was launching his production company, that's kind of what reignited Sound for me before then.
Either way, I'm so glad we found you, though.
Really, so I have a lot of it to thank for you, to you, and then to Nia, too, after that. So, yeah, that really launched it all off. Nia forced me to get my first kit.
I know. I thought you already had equipment, and then she called me, like, the day beforehand. She's like, so I'm going to buy equipment. I'm like, oh, okay. But, yeah, no, seriously, you've been, like, the only person besides myself that has been on set from the Passion Project from day one. And, like, having someone on set who's like a friend and who like is someone that I can always go to if I want like a hug or just like any type of like mental or emotional support, etc. Like, it was extremely like amazing to have that support on set
any day. I know, I love it.
We're having a real kumbaya moment.
Hare Krishna.
We're all in a circle too,
right? Should be like a little campfire. Right,
I know. Yeah. It's amazing what these tiny vibrations can do, huh?
Yeah. Give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair. Yeah. I actually watched that the other night too.
We'll keep our clothes on. Though, all
right. Aww.
Yeah.
I want her to tell me the weather.
We are gonna get hot here soon.
Yeah, you are, baby. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, we hope that you enjoyed today's show. A big thank you also to Jill Whelan for coming on. And who knows? I might stalk her at Knott's Berry Farm later on today. I never know. Go hop on over there, get my pass too, and, you know, figure out where Jill, where are you?
Yeah.
You know, who the hell's calling me? You know.
I will do that now that I know she's there. Just run around. It'll be like the new Carl, you know, that you do at Festies, where everyone starts yelling Carl. And Jill!
Well, again, thank you to Jill Whelan. I can't appreciate it so much for her coming on. Such a great talk to give us a little bit of insight and how well grounded she is, and just as a wonderful person also. And that's why she turned out the way she turned out. Thank God for her mother.
Yes.
So mothers everywhere. All righty, guys. Let's see. Accolades. Yes. Yourweeklydose.com. Find us there.
Good.
Right?
Good.
Oh,
right?
Nice.
It's always safe to say that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good accolade. You know what another good one is?
I'm on IMDb. Forrest Hartle, check me out on IMDb.
Or that one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Nia, do you have one?
Yeah. Well, I'm also on IMDb. I'm Nia Caitlin Katzdever. And then on Instagram, I'm Nia Caitlin Katzdever. And then there's thepassionproject.ks on Instagram. And on TikTok, there's the Passion Project series.
Yeah, so there's all that stuff with her, and Casey's got, like, a whole bunch more, too. Go ahead, Casey.
I know. I'm actually in jail for something that I posted.
Yeah!
For something I posted last year.
We got to, like, go
last
through.
Last year?
We got to go through, like, all
back
the, like,
the
past year of your episodes and, like, count how many times and just tally how many times you've been in Facebook.
Enough that I got a mug.
Yeah, I got her a mug last year.
Yeah,
for Christmas.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. This year I might get her like a whole outfit.
It's Casey N. Summers if you're looking for me. You might still be able to find me.
Yeah, and you're on Instagram, but you're like never on it.
It's true. Most of it's just tagged.
Yeah.
So tag me and stuff.
Wow. Yeah. And as far as the show is concerned, guys, don't forget also Your Weekly Dose, one on. What are you laughing at? I'm going to promote it.
Of course. Do it.
Of course.
Your Weekly Dose 1 at Twitter and also at Instagram.
Good.
And of course, course, we got to start doing more stuff on those things, too.
Send me memes. I'll post them.
Yeah. Oh, God. Meme, whatever. Do it. I don't care.
And don't forget to try to win a Your Weekly Dose t-shirt by
Yes, why are we playing
us.
This song?
Why are you playing this
why
song?
Why are we playing it today and torturing Casey with it? That's the thing. Why are we doing it? So don't forget to send us your answer at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. And again, for me, Sean, anything on any of the social media is simply Sean R. Unplugged. Until then, guys, we'll see you guys next week. We've got a special show next week, too, because somebody's having a birthday.
My guess would be him.
No point.
Two fingers. All right, guys, take care of yourselves. Be good to each other. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.